Grace and peace be to you from God our Father, from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The word that is before us today on Education Sunday is from the book of Acts in the 9th chapter, verses 1 through 9, as printed. Then Saul, still breathing threats and murder against the disciples of the Lord, went to the high priest and asked letters from him to the synagogues of Damascus, so that if he found any who were of the way, whether men or women, he might bring them bound to Jerusalem. As he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly a light shone around him from heaven. Then he fell to the ground and heard a voice saying to him, "Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?" And he said, "Who are you, Lord?" Then the Lord said, "I am Jesus whom you are persecuting. It is hard for you to kick against the goads." So he, trembling and astonished, said, "Lord, what do you want me to do?" Then the Lord said to him, "Arise and go into the city, and you will be told what you must do." And the men who journeyed with him stood speechless, hearing a voice, but seeing no one. Then Saul arose from the ground, and when his eyes were opened, he saw no one, but they led him by the hand and brought him into Damascus. And he was 3 days without sight and neither ate nor drank. Dear fellow, redeemed by the blood of God's own son, many years after this incident of our text, the apostle Paul wrote to the young pastor Timothy, and he said these words that you most of you have memorized: "From childhood you have known the holy scriptures, which are able to make you wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus." As a young child, Timothy's mother and grandmother had taught him the Old Testament scriptures. But Paul says that Timothy had known the scriptures from childhood, which says even more than at one time his parents and grandparents taught him the scriptures. From childhood. In other words, Timothy never reached a point in his life where he said to himself, "I can't learn anymore. I've been confirmed. I know Jesus is my Savior. I don't need to search the scriptures any longer." No, not at all. He continued in the hearing and learning of God's word so that he might keep that saving wisdom through faith that is generated and preserved by the same word of God. Paul knew very well the importance of a Christian education being continued throughout life. Near the end of his own life, he also wrote to Timothy. He said, "I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith." In the same letter, Paul reminded Timothy, "You must also endure hardship as a good soldier of the cross." Now, it's Education Sunday, and you might be wondering, what is all of this about fighting and being a soldier of the cross? I wonder how many of you parents have been with this thought in mind from the time that the children were born or were little and you began to pray for them. Have you been thinking that you're preparing a fighter to overcome in the end, finally, and conquer with Christ? Have you been thinking that I'm preparing a soldier of the cross? That's not what many people think about when they think of Christian education today. They think they're training their children to be good little people, to grow up to be good little boys and girls and good little adults and righteous people and so on like that. That's what they think of. Has our program at Holy Trinity been about bringing up Christian fighters and soldiers? Is that what our Christian education is about? Absolutely. Absolutely. Remember what Paul told Timothy. The Holy Scriptures have made us wise unto salvation through faith in Christ. Christian education makes Christian soldiers. Now, this isn't an ordinary fight, and that's because we're not ordinary soldiers. Think about it. Every soldier that is trained for the armies of countries is prepared for the day when he's going to be faced with a decision to kill or be killed. He's going to be trained to kill. We, on the other hand, as the extraordinary soldiers of Christ and of the cross, are trained quite the opposite. We are trained with the understanding that we must die first. We have to be killed before we can even begin to be soldiers of the cross. And that's not something that people are ready to accept. This isn't the first lesson either that a truly Christian education teaches. This is a lesson that has to keep on being repeated throughout our lives. You heard what Jesus revealed to the Laodicean congregation. They'd been in existence for over 40 years. And what did he say to them? You're blind. You need to repent and return to the faith. Our text tells us that Saul lived and breathed the death of all Christians. We know the story well. He was on his way to Damascus to receive letters from the priest in Damascus so that he would be entitled to bring men and women who are of the way, who are of the Christian faith, back to Jerusalem to be persecuted, tortured, killed. He was convinced that he was doing the work of God, that he was living a life of obedience to the law of Moses. There was no doubt in his mind. Saul was entirely dedicated to the law and to his God as he understood him. He was an enemy of God because of sin, just as we all are by nature, but he didn't know sin. He didn't see it in himself. He was alive in the law because the law had not yet sunk its murderous teeth into him. And because the law hadn't sunk its teeth into Saul's heart and conscience, his conscience was continually being hushed. Whenever he would sin, or whenever he was out in the world, his conscience would tell him things like this: I'm doing my best. God will accept me as I am. Or he was being told, that fellow over there is a great sinner compared to me. Or he was being told, I must be doing something right since everything's going right for me. These were the thoughts that were coming in and hushing his conscience against any realization of his sin or the death. For many years he sat comfortably in this house of ignorance, like a man that sits on top of a smoldering volcano. And then suddenly, there was the Damascus incident. Saul's gracious and merciful Savior chose a special way to really put the fear of God into this man who wasn't getting it. As you see in the text, Saul was immediately crushed and defeated on the road to Damascus. He thought that he was alive spiritually, that he was serving God. But instead, he found out that he was waging war against the risen Lord Christ, the one whom he'd been persecuting all these years. And then suddenly, the Lord made it clear to Saul's heart that the law did not save him. In fact, he was dead. It condemned him before the holy God. Later, this converted Christian soldier wrote in Romans 7, when the commandment came, that's a very interesting expression. It means when the commandment finally spoke to my heart. You can be raised with the commandments for 1,000 years, but until those commandments speak to your heart and convict you that you're dead because of sin, it hasn't spoken to you. It's just words. Paul says, when the commandment came so that it spoke to my heart, then sin revived and I died. So the question for us is today and every day, have we been killed by the law? Are we being killed by the law, or do we still think we have some life in it compared to others? Only if we have been brought to the conviction that the law constantly shows our sin and constantly kills us, only then does our Christian education continue and we find ourselves alive with Saul. And so he wrote to the Galatian Christians years later, I, through the law, died to the law that I might live in God. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Everybody lives life in the body. We all have bodies. We live lives in, but there are two different lives. One of them is you live for the law, as we all do by nature, and therefore you're dead. You just don't realize it. Or the life that you live by faith in the Son of God who loved you and gave himself for you. Saul was turned from being an enemy of Christ to becoming a Christian soldier, a soldier of the cross. He became a different man, known to us as Paul the Apostle. Forgive me if I mix up Saul and Paul. The rest of the sermon, it's going to happen. It's got to. I couldn't figure out which one to call. The apostle. Because he was always reflecting back in his own life to that moment when the law killed him and he was made alive through Christ and his grace. And so you and I, we need to be reminded that we died to sin too in our baptism and when we were brought to faith. We are now new people. Now some might have said that, and still say that, Paul's conversion was such a spectacular miracle because, well, you know, Paul was such an enemy. He was an enemy of all enemies. His heart was so hardened against Jesus that Jesus had to have some special way. But normally, in the normal course of everyday life, people can actually cooperate in bringing about their own conversion because they're not so dead set against Christ as Saul was. You're going to hear arguments like that. Not true. Many assume that becoming a Christian soldier is like walking into a army recruiting station and signing up for military service. It's a decision that we make. That's not what Scripture teaches. Paul himself told the Galatians later, God revealed his Son to him when it pleased God, he said, who had called him by his grace, Galatians 1. So, our Lord says in John chapter 6, no one comes to me except the Father who sent me draws him, drags him. A ship has to be turned, either by the pilot or by the wind. And so it's the same with us. We who are naturally born enemies of God must be turned by the gospel so that we walk in a new life and we have this life-creating breath of the Spirit who's working in us through the Word of God. Only when we've been taught by the law that we can't fool God and from the gospel that we don't need to fool God, only then will we ask, as Saul does, what do I do, Lord? Saul shows that true faith is not a dead, do-nothing thing. If you think you believe in Jesus Christ, what are you doing? Faith does. Faith can die, but as long as it's living, it's doing. As soon as Jesus revealed himself to Saul as his living Savior who had loved him and given himself for him, Saul asked, Lord, what do you want me to do? You know, sometimes we come up with the wrong answer because we ask the wrong person the wrong question. Many years ago, I knew a high school student who asked himself, self. There are many things that you could do, and you could make plenty of money. What do you want to do, self? And then one day, while quietly thinking about the greatness of his sins and how the Son of God had loved him and given himself for him, he asked a different question. He didn't address self. He said, Lord, my Savior, what do you want me to do? And the answer was that he went on from there to the seminary to find out more about what it means to be a Christian soldier of the cross. Now, everybody's not suited for the preaching and teaching ministry. But anyone who has been killed by the law and brought to a knowledge of his Savior Jesus Christ so that he has a living Savior who moves him in life to ask, "What, Lord, shall I do?" will ask this question Saul asked. And the better our Christian education and the stronger our faith becomes, the less we are going to ask self, "What do you want me to do today?" The more we're going to ask, "Lord, what do you want me to do?" And there's so much to be done. So much to do for our living faith. And there are no unimportant tasks. We've all received the Great Commission. And it's just like the flesh. We hear those words, "You go therefore and make disciples of all nations," and we say, "Oh, that's for the pastors. That's for the missionaries. I can't do that." Paul was educated by Christ to become a Christian soldier who would fight the good fight of faith. He would suffer many things as he devoted himself to bringing the gospel of Christ to Gentile and Jews. Just like those Christian laymen we've been studying about in Bible class at the time of the Reformation who stood up for the gospel. They fought the fight and they suffered many things. But they were soldiers. They received a Christian education and it worked. Our Christian education has made us Christian soldiers, and the captain of our faith has given us this great commission. Be going and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And there isn't a single person here today who has been killed by the law and made alive by the gospel who doesn't share in that work with me. And all of our pastors and teachers in our church body. And to a larger extent, all the other faithful Christians in the world. Are we seriously involved with the fight our fellow soldiers are making in this congregation? Or are we content to let others carry on the battle as we sit on the sideline? There is so much that needs doing. What are we doing? What would the Lord have us do? Don't ask the wrong person. Don't ask self. When we get hurt, and we're all going to get hurt in this work, the devil wants to hurt us and make us hurt one another so that he can turn us away from the work. When we get hurt, do we run from the battlefield? Do we leave our Christian comrades to carry on without us because we've been hurt? What kind of an attitude is that? Do we let self tell us what to do with our time and our talents and riches? Or do we ask the Lord, "What will you have me to do?" Are we becoming more effective witnesses for Christ by Bible study? Church, Bible class, Sunday school attendance? Is this something we're concerned about? Or are we leaving it to everyone else? Our Great Commission as Christian soldiers is about teaching and living and confessing His Word faithfully. It's about building His kingdom. It's about doing the work of a Christian congregation so that the message of salvation may be clear, may be preserved for ourselves and our children and for the world. This is a great work. It's a great war. The enemy is great, but the scriptures tell us that greater is he who is in you than he who is in the world, that is Satan. You have Christ in you. You have the Holy Spirit working through the gospel and word and sacrament. You can do it. He will enable you. It's about surrendering self to the Lord who loved us and gave himself for us. It's about denying self by enduring everything for the sake of him who suffered all for us. So examine yourselves. If you are receiving a Christian education like Saul, your Lord has opened your blind eyes so that you have become Christian soldiers. He's already gained the victory. You don't even have to gain the victory. It's done. The victory over sin, death, and hell is yours. It's handed to you on a silver platter. Now he promises you all the riches of his heaven, more than anything than all of you put together can assemble here on earth. He promises all of that in heaven if only you will fight alongside of him on earth for a short time and not get tired. Amen.